Begin. Okay, so tonight we're going on Shir Hay, that's page 193. We're halfway through the book, by the way. We're gonna get there, we're gonna finish. We'll have a Siyum. And maybe the Siyum will probably be live, but just we'll get there soon. Okay, so right now we're in Shir Hay, the Tfilos of Shabbos. Okay, so we begin. We'll try to do half of the topic, half of Shir Hay this evening and half of the Shir next week. So we begin by discussing that the Torah in Source 1 says, V'nichnasim l'beis ha'knesef v'spalim tefilas mincha k'mo b'shar yimoz achol. So mincha on Erev Shabbos is just like the rest of the week. El eshein nofim l'apneihem. There's no tachnun. So there's no tachnun on Erev Shabbos. So why is there no tachnun? There seems to be some level of holiness on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. The Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Chav Zayim and Aleph says, Tadu Rabbanan, Me'imasai Zogfin es Hamitos be'Erev Shabbos bina mincho lamala. For when do the mourners stand their beds upright on Friday? So there was a practice of Avelus that the beds were turned upside down. Sort of like, you know, that the bed, which symbolizes fertility, when people, you know, through, that's where, you know, families are created. So when there's a loss of humanity, so the Gemara talks about this Avelus practice of turning over the beds. So when we don't practice this nowadays. Perhaps, by the way, some say that the practice of covering the mirrors may relate to this. Because you're sort of a lack of humanity. You're sort of like minimizing humanity, which is what maybe Zokfinus Amitos accomplishes. In any case, so we turn it back to the normal position from Mincha time and onward. And the Levush in Source 3, Orchaim Simon Reish Samach Zayin Siv Katan Aleph, Ein Nofil Apneim Kevin Shu Samach Lachnos Shabbos. When you get close to Shabbos, there's some level of quasi-sanctity. So we don't say tachnun. Tachnun is when you're crying out to Hashem, and you're supposed to be, if you understand what tachnun is about, so there's supposed to be a sense of sadness, and you're crying to Hashem, your supplication. So we don't do that on Shabbos. We know we don't recite on Shabbos, you know, regular weekday prayer of, you know, with all the weekday requests, because those requests, if we have kavada, we cry about, you know, sickness, and we cry about parnasa, and we... So we don't want to cry, we don't want to be sad on Shabbos. So also, Nefilas Apayim, Tachdun, we have Kavana, so it's really about, you know, crying to Hashem. Like, we don't know what to do, we're just falling on our faces. So we don't do that on Friday afternoon. And the Mishnah Berurah points out in Source 4, Rechaim, Reish Samach Zayin, Siv Katan Aleph, because of a prima God, V'nira Dehu Adin, Kishem Yispal Mincha Gedola Acher Chatzos, Name Ein No Pival Pareyam. So even though the halacha of no tachdun is when it's close to Shabbos, and it's not only when we daven mincha by after mincha ketana, it's even when we do mincha gedola. What's it between mincha ketana, mincha gedola? Mincha ketana is 2.5 halachic hours after two and a half halachic hours before sunset, right? Plag mincha, plag in Aramaic means half, so plag mincha is half of that. That's why Plag Mincha is 1.25 halachic hours before the end of the day. Plag Mincha is the earliest time you can start Shabbos. So Mincha Ketana is 2.5 halachic hours before Shabbos. And Mincha Gedola is basically, half an hour after Chatzos, after midday. So bottom line is that we no tachdun for Mincha. And the Shmira Shavs Lechasa in Source 5 says, "Amispal Tfilas Mincha Betzibor Yishtal Shiyispalu Baod Moed Dehayne Shefsha Yehei Lakavos Shavs Lepachos Ban Muot Fnei Ashkia." You should try, if you can, to daven Mincha so that you finish the Shmot Esrei before sunset, so that you could accept Shavs before sunset. I mentioned that at least Rabbi Willig's of the opinion that you don't have to actively accept Shabbos to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, of adding Shabbos, that the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos is simply that a few minutes before sunset, you're not doing malacha, then you're good. But others disagree with Rabbi Willig and hold that you actively have to accept upon yourself Shabbos. So what Shmir Shabbos Chachasa is saying is that you should try to daven mincha so that you finish it with a few minutes before Shabbos, so that you can accept Shabbos at that point in time. The Isha Yisrael in source 6, so he says that Ima Dain Lo Kibbol Alav Es HaShabbos, let's say he didn't accept Shabbos yet. Av She'at Tzibur Beis HaKnesses says Kvar Kibbol Alav Es HaShabbos. You walk into Shul, right? You walk into Shul, and let's say you haven't davened Mincha yet, but the Tzibur has already said, they've already accepted Shabbos. They've already said L'chadodi, they've already said Mizmashil Mashabbos. This probably applies more maybe in the springtime when they make Shabbos early. So you walk in, you walk in a little late. They've already accepted Shabbos, and you need to daven mincha. So yachot yispal tefilas mincha shelchol. You can still daven mincha. El shabofen zeh lo yispalel afilu biyachidus besoch beis knesses shirbo kvar kiblos haShabbos. El yetzah chachutz of yispal shem. This is a halacha many people don't know, is that if you walk in late to shul Friday night, and let's say the tzibur has said it's already they've accepted Shabbos. They've already done, they've already said Mizmor Shili on Shabbos, and you just walk into Shul, you should really daven Mincha outside Shul, because it's not appropriate for you to daven a weekday Shemot Esrei when the Tzibur has already accepted Shabbos. And then he says in the next halacha, V'chenim Icher, we're still in source 6, V'chenim Icher lebeit HaKnesu b'shar v'atzmol shay yitziyasayim tfilas Mincha shelchol yikabli Tzibur Shabbos. Let's say you came late to Shul and you calculate that by the time you finish Mincha, that the Tzibur will have already accepted Shabbos. Lo yamo beis hakness lispal mincha al yetzei achutzav yispal shem. You should daven outside the shul. Uchshem v'efsharuto lispal michutz beis hakness yochle yispalo af beis hakness kevin shemascha mincha v'terem kiblu akol Shabbos. But if you can't daven outside, as long as you start before the Tzibur starts daven Kabbalah Shabbos, then you can stay in shul. So bottom line, what we said here, mincha, the key things about mincha is there's no tachnun, because there's some level of kedusha, some level of happiness, of not official sanctity, but some level of happiness. We also know, by the way, after chatzos, if you're someone's, God forbid, someone's at a funeral, that after chatzos Friday afternoon, we don't say a kelmole, we don't say tzedek hadin. So there's this. We try to stay away from. There's certain types of sad prayers that we don't say, erev Shabbos after chatzos. So this goes into this with no tachnun, and then the other piece is, so for those who want to accept Tosefes Shabbos officially, you try that mincha so and finish with a few minutes before Shabbos starts. And if you finish, and if you're going to daven mincha and you go into shul and the shul already accepted Shabbos, so it's not appropriate to daven mincha, weekday mincha, in a place where they've accepted Shabbos. So you should daven mincha outside. Okay, let's move on to Kabbalah Shabbos. What's the source of Kabbalah Shabbos? So when were they doing Kabbalah Shabbos? So I don't know if you ever heard the name of Rav Shlomo Alkabatz, right? He was this mystic. They talk about the mystics in the 16th century who started Kabbalah Shabbos. So even though that's true, there is some basis in the Gemara for the idea of Kabbalah Shabbos, even though the practice of Kabbalah Shabbos does not begin until, 500 or 400 years ago. There is a line, we're on source 7, page 196. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf, Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, says, Rabbi Chanina, Mi'ate V'koya Panya D'mali Shabsa. Rabbi Chanina would wrap himself in a garment, and he would stand by close to Shabbos. And Omar, Bo V'netzi Likra Shabbos Amalka. Come, let us greet the Shabbos queen. Rabbi Yannai Lovish Mani Me'alei Shabbos. Rabbi Yannai would put on a special garment on Friday night. V'amar Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. So you see this idea of, when he said L'chadodi, so they incorporated some of these statements that we find in the Gemara of Likra Shabbos Hamalka, Bo'i Kala, Bo'i Kala. So there is some, again, there's some reference to accepting Shabbos. Again, normally speaking, we have three prayers. If Shachris, Mincha and Marv every day. And okay, on Shabbos, because they brought a Korban Musaf in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so you added Korban Musaf. This whole notion of Kabbalah Shabbos It's not found in the Mishnah. It's not found in the Gemara. It's not found in the Rishonim. It's not found in the Shulchan Aruch. There's some reference about some rabbis who would go out into the fields and greet Shabbos. They were so excited. So now the Pesachei Tshuva is in source 8. So he cites Rav Shlomo Alkabatz, and also Rav Avigdor Shel HaRamak. He's the Rebbe and the brother-in-law of Rav Moshe Cordovero. These were like mystics who lived in Tzfat in the 16th century in Eretz Yisrael. So Tikena Piyut L'Chadodi. So they established the Piyut called L'Chadodi. You know, like, I like to say that, you know, sometimes people say, what's the impact of mysticism on Judaism? And so, like, even, like, I consider myself a real Litva. You might, because you don't put on tefillin, you might not appreciate this, but I'm such a Litva that I even put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You know, like a lot of people who are like basically Sephardim don't put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, and Ashkenazim who have Hasidic blood don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and also people who have a tradition from the Vilna Gaon, who also incorporates mysticism, you know, don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So I'm a real Litvak in that I'm like such a non-mystic that I put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Nevertheless, even real, like, hardcore Litvaks, people who are not mystics, so mysticism has incorporated, has infiltrated, also for the good, standard Orthodox practice. An example of that is Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos is an example of how mysticism has impacted, you know, traditional Jewish practice. Because this is something that the mystics incorporated. So, right, so it says that the Rav Alkabatz and Rav Moshe Cordovero, so they established the Piyut of L'Chadodi, which concludes, HaMisayim B'Sofa B'Shon Chazal Bo'i Kala, which concludes with the line of Bo'i Kala, that's from the Gemara. U'mizmorei L'Chu Neranina Ein Muska B'Kitvei Hari V'Rabak Elohutkan Amirosim Bizman Talmidei Hari. So what's interesting is that they're saying, again, if you think about what's Kabbalah Shabbos, it's a bunch of Prakim of Tehillim, then we say this Anor B'Koach, and then we say L'Chadodi. So there's only one prayer that was innovated, and that's L'Chadodi. It's basically a bunch of Prakim of Tehillim, Anor B'Koach, and L'Chadodi. So originally it seems that L'Chadodi was first established, and L'Chu Neranina and all those other, saying these Prakim of Tehillim are not found in the writings of the Arizal, right? The Arizal was also a mystic, Risa Gloria in the 16th century, the 17th century, and the Ramak. But the students of the Arizal established it. So I guess it started with L'Chadodi. It started with a few rabbis going out in the Talmudic times, going outside dressed, I guess, in fancy clothing and saying, Bo'i Kala. We don't hear much about this till the 16th century, introduction of L'Chadodi, and then we have students of the Arizal in the 17th century saying some of these prakim of Tehillim, and v'nispashet amiras mechol tfutzot Yisrael. Then it spreads. The amiras kigavna hutka yidei tamidei habesht, and the recitation of kigavna, that's a selection from the Zohar, so that we don't say in Young Israel. That's huskar l'rishona besidur Rabbi Osher. So this was students of the Baal Shem Tov. So the truth is, right, the truth is that the Gemara in Brachos already, again, connects the Shabbos to some of the Mizmorim that we say. So for example, like again, even though we didn't establish saying Kabbalah Shabbos until the 17th century, there are still perhaps hints in the Gemara connecting some of these Prakim of Tehillim to Shabbos. So, for example, this is in Source 9, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf, Chav Tes Amid Aleph says, Haini Sheva de Shabbos Kenegin Mi. We know there are seven blessings that we recite on Shabbos, Tefillah, right? There are how many during the week? How many? And the Shmoneh Esrei, how many Brachos?
19.
How many?
19.
Right. So you have 19. That's why it's called Shmoneh Esrei, because Judaism has a sense of humor, right? So we have 19 blessings. One was obviously added. So the Amidah for the rest of the week in 19, 3, 13, and 3, 13 brachos of bakasha. So during Shabbos and Yom Tov, except for Musa for Rosh Hashanah, we have 7, 3, 1, and 3. So the Gemara says, why do we have 7? Keneged Shiva Kolo Shamar David Al Hamayim. So this is, it says the word 7 times, it says the word kol, the voice is 7 times, Mizmor le David, basically. And in other words, this is the voice is, I guess, this voice of Hashem. So we're already connecting the idea of this Mizmor to Shabbos. Some of we hear the sense, the sound of Hashem. Kol Hashem Alamayim, Kol Hashem Makor, Kol Hashem Ba'adar. There's an additional sense of God's voice on Shabbos 7 times, 7 brachos. Again, you can simply say you can look at it in a different way. You can say there are 3 opening brachos, 3 closing brachos, and instead of having 13 blessings of requests, we have 1 bracha about the sanctity of Shabbos. That's how we get to 7. But the Gemara already connects it to the idea of a heightened sense of God's voice that we sense on Shabbos. That's connected to this mizmor. So by the way, that's one of the mizmorim that we say on Kabbalah Shabbos. And also the Levush points out in Source 10, Archaim, Reish Pe'af, Sivkot and Aleph, V'somchi Machrov Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So he talks about how in Psukei Dezibra in Shabbos morning we say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. Shu Gamkin Odol Hashem Yisparach Al HaChasodim. And we thank God in all the kindnesses. D'chiv La'agid V'boker Chastecha. That we declare God's kindness. V'achrov Mizmor Hashem Malach Geus Slavesh. That God is, as it were, is wearing, he's dressed up in attire fit for a king, so that shusamach lemitzvah shliyom haShabbos v'hu nidrash al knisas Shabbos, and it's connected to the entering of Shabbos. Shekish shesiyim haKadosh Baruch Hu malakto v'nis atef b'tiferes levusha v'yashav al kisei kodesho asher al zeh nisyaseh lakel shel Shabbos. So as it were, like Hashem, again, it's all derech mashal, all derech, by way of parable. But this notion of God has finished doing all the work He creates for 6 days, and then He's done, and then He's now wearing his royal. He's working hard for 6 days. He's created a world. He's created mankind. He's the king of mankind. So he puts on his royal robes, as it were, and he's sitting on his throne. And that's what we're doing on Shabbos. So again, you have. These ideas of, right, these Prakim of Tehillah, Mizmor David, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Shem Malach Geus Lavesh. So it's interesting that these Prakim of Tehillim were eventually connected to Kabbalah Shabbos. And in Sefer Ishei Yisrael, Ishei Yisrael is a modern day Tefillah Sefer, and he writes the following, this is Source 11. Achrei Tefillas Mincha, Minag Lomar Shisha Mizmorim. The custom is to recite 6 Prakim of Tehillim, L'chun Aranana, etc., etc. Why? Kevan She'elo Mizmorim Heim Al Yemos HaMashiach. All of these Mizmorim talk about the Messianic era. They're all involved the Messianic era. And Shehu Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that's a day, that's all Shabbos, right? The Messianic era is, that's the ultimate that we're trying to achieve. I'm sure you've heard the idea that we have, the Gemara talks about how the world has we're going to have 6,000 years, and that's what people wait for the year 6,000, because the first 2,000 years are tohu vavohu, are emptiness and void. The next 2,000 years are years of Torah. Next 2,000 years are the Messianic era, Yom HaMashiach, and then that will be concluded by the 7th millennia, which is sort of Shabbos. So Shabbos represents this culmination of this Messianic era. So we have 6 Mizmorim, which is which are talking about the Yemos HaMashiach, and then a Mizmor Shishi, Mizmor LeDavid, Yesh Bo Shiva Kolos. We have the 7 Kolos, the seven mentions of the word Kol, Keneged Sheva Brachos Shel Tefillah Shabbos, the connection with Shabbos. V'yesh Nogim, Sheshliach Tzibur Omer B'Makom HaBima, B'Shas Mizmorim Elu, V'Chein B'L'Chadodin, so we have the custom to stand during these chapters, also for Lechadodi, different customs about this. So again, so this is what's going on Kabbalah Shabbos. Again, you have the hints to it in the days of the Gemara, some of these Mizmorim, but these are all Mizmorim that hint to the Messianic era, and that's what it should be like. In other words, we work hard, like we work hard for 6 days, reflect on Shabbos, and that's what we're working hard as Klal Yisrael. We're working hard through these years to try to bring about a time of peace and prosperity, a time we can sit and reflect on the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will be this, you know, the Messianic era will be like a Shabbos. If Amnam continue Ha'ara Chav Ches in source 11, V'amnam Ba'budar Hamu Machzor Vitri Lo Muskar Lomar Shisha Mizmor Melu. He says in the Budar Ham and the Machzor Vitri, so these are like earlier, these are like from like the 13th century, the 12th century, there's no mention to say these six Mizmorim. V'ayin Sidur Beis Yaakov from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Sheminigo Avi, the cousin of his father, Achacham Tzvi, this is the 17th century, Hoya Lahaskam, V'mizmor L'David, Hover Lo Hashem, he would suffer Mizmor L'David, V'amnam B'seid Yom Kosev Lomar Eile Shisha Mizmorim, but in another, the Sidur of the Vilna Gaon, he does say to say these six Mizmorim, I'm sorry, Seder Ayom, the custom is to say these. I'm not sure exactly when that was written, but see the Seder Agra in the 18th century, that these are, that he says here, Mizmor Melu, Keneged Sheish Tekiel, Shetiknu Chachmei HaTalmud B'Bavel. The Gemara talks about that they would blow six tekiels to usher in the Shabbos. Ulach, to tell you Shabbos is coming. They'd blow the shofar six times at six different intervals. But sometimes the government would tell them they weren't allowed to continue with these tkiyos. So then they would say these six chapters of Tehillim. Then they would say Anabekoch. So again, this is relatively a new custom of the last 400 or 500 years. Maybe they were saying it a little bit earlier. Maybe they were saying Mizmor LeDavid. Maybe. Maybe they were saying Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos a little bit earlier, but it seems that it really came into fore with L'Chadodi by the mystics of the 16th century, and then in the next 100 years they really added more Mizmorim.
Why do we do an abridged Kabbalah Shabbos and Yontif, and why do we say what we do say and leave out what we don't say?
So for on Yom Tov, yes. So I. It's a good question. I think that on it seems that the kedusha of Yom Tov, I guess, overrides the kedusha of Yom Tov, I guess, overrides Shabbos. I think like Shabbos in a sense. I think that we are inviting Hashem into our midst, right? In a sense, we're inviting Hashem into our midst. Yom Tov, we're sort of going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house, to the Beis HaMikdash. So I think that it's overshadowed, I think, by the Yom Tov in some sense has greater sanctity as to what we're trying to accomplish than on Shabbos. Shabbos, in a sense, we sort of welcome Hashem to our house. And then Yom Tov, we are sort of going to, I mean, it's supposed to be Shalosh Regalim. We're going to Hashem's house, and that probably, I would assume that is a more dominant, that's more of a dominant theme, as opposed to, that's more of a dominant theme than the Kabbalah Shabbos. So that's how I always understood that. But maybe I'll see if there's anything written on that. But that's how I always understood that the what we're trying to accomplish in Yom Tov is you can sort of pick and choose. You can't really do both in a sense. So in the Shulchan Aruch in source 12, the Shulchan Aruch says Nogin Lomar Perik B'Mem Madlikin. So they say they talk about B'Mem Madlikin, and here B'Mem Madlikin talks about what you're supposed to do. Ideally, you're supposed to do this right before Mariv, because you say during B'Mem Madlikin. Like, did you light already? I mean, we're saying it in shul after people already lit. But this is around the time when people are accepting Shabbos, in theory. And this is like right before, oh, do you remember, to light? Do you remember to separate masros? Do you remember to make an Eruv? Right? So what's interesting is that some say we don't say it on Yom Tov. This is not Dor Chana's question, but we don't say B'Mem Madlikim because on Yom Tov, on Friday night, what we don't say on Yom Tov is because you can't, right? That on Yom Tov, if you look at the footnote 10, that on Yom Tov, you wouldn't ask your household whether you separated tithes because it's forbidden. And also, it would not be recited when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos or Friday night, because we don't want to, because since we don't do it on Yom Tov, we also don't do it on Yom Tov that falls on an Erev Shabbos. So that has to do with Memed Likim. Memed Likim is sort of like this in between, sort of right before Maariv begins. So then we move on to Maariv, and so there are a couple of differences between Maariv during the week and Maariv on Friday night. So one difference is, if you know in the brachos of Kriyat Shema, you have two brachos of Kriyat Shema, right? And then normally during the week you have two brachos, and then we've added a bracha Shem Lo Mein V'Mein. That's like a later addition. But basically, fundamentally, you have two brachos before Kriyat Shema at night and two brachos afterwards. The second bracha is Hashkivenu. So the difference is, on weeknight, we finish by saying Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomer Amo Yisrael La'at. Right? We bless Hashem that Hashem will guard us at night. So the Torah points out in Source 13, U'mishani b'chasiba shechose mufroz sukkah shalom aleinu. We ask Hashem to spread His peace on us. V'al Yushalayim Yirecha. Baruch Hashem, and praise sukkah shalom aleinu. Kol Yisrael v'al Yushalayim. V'chein ha'minak ba'ashkenaz. Shabbos guards us, so therefore we don't need to say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomer Moshe Elohad. Remember, at nighttime, that's scary. At night, we say LaHagid BaBoker Chasdecha VeMunascha BaLeilos. We're calm during the day. We speak Hashem's praises. At night, we want Emuna Munascha BaLeilos. We want to focus on our faith. It's a little scarier. At nighttime, we say Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. We ask Hashem to protect us at night. But Friday night, we don't need Shabbos. Will protect us, and therefore we want God to spread peace upon us. And we don't need to mention that Shomer. That we don't mention Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. However, what do we say? V'nohagim. The end of Source 13. The Torah writes V'nohagim Lomar Pasuk V'shamu Bnei Yisrael Lomar Sheim Yishmu Shabbos Ein Tzuchim Shmiro. Why do we not need protection Friday night? Because if you're Shomer Shabbos, if you quote unquote protect or observe Shabbos, then Shabbos will protect you. V'hu gam kein me'ein geula. There's also a little bit of like redemption. K'niksim d'le'il, she'im yishmeru Yisrael be Shabbosos, miyad nigalim. And if Klai Yisrael would observe two Shabbosos, we would be redeemed right away. V'omer, so that's why the custom developed to say, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael. At this point, we're saying that, like, we're sort of highlighting the fact that what? We're highlighting the fact that, oh, you know, Hashkivenu, we didn't say how we normally say Hashkivenu. We ended it off a little bit differently. Why? Because we don't need the Shmirah. You know why? Because our observance of Shabbos will protect us. We're saying V'shamu B'nei Yisrael. And more than that, and we hope that our Shmirah will do more than simply protecting us, but this is also Geula. We know that the bracha before Hashkivenu is a bracha of Geula, bracha Hashem Gaal Yisrael, right? There are three brachos of Kriyat Shema. The first bracha, normally, the first bracha of Kriyat Shema is a bracha, let's say, it's about nature, right? That's Yotzer Or in the morning, or Hamariv Aravim. It's about, we bless Hashem about nature, that Hashem created the world, the day, the night, and it's about nature. The second bracha of Avas Olam Avarabba is a blessing about Torah and Mitzvot that Hashem gave us. And the third bracha is about, that's the bracha after Shema, is about Gula, about redemption. By the way, that's also the three paragraphs of Kriyat Shema. The first paragraph of Kriyat Shema is about what? It's about Hashem is the king, it's accepting Hashem as the king over the world. Hashem created the world. We're thanking Hashem created the world. The second paragraph of Kriyat Shema is about V'hayim Shema Tishmu Amotasai. It's about Hashem and observance of his mitzvos. And the third brach, the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema is Gula, right? Ani Hashem Kecham Asher Tzeisicham Eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. So the third bracha after Kriyat, the third bracha of Shema, which is after Kriyat Shema, is the bracha of Gula. Shkivenu is an extension of that. The Gemara says it's an extension of that. And therefore, the Vishamru says two things. Number one is that our observance of Shabbos serves as a Shmira for us, and also it will, the Shmirat Shabbat will lead to Geula. Okay, so these are two different ideas. Okay, and if you look on source 14, the Shulchan Aruch says, it concludes, that's how we paskin. In the bracha of Hashkivedu, we don't conclude with Shomer Moisolad. Kevan Shigila Vitzel could affect that Sredo Bear. When you get to the end of Hashkivedu, what do you say? Ufros Sukas Shalom Aleinu Va'al Yerushalayim Iracha. Baruch Hashem, praise Sukas Shalom Aleinu Va'al Yerushalayim. We say the bracha of this Ufros Aleinu Sukas Shalom Echa. The Mishnah Berurah in Source 15 says, if you forgot and you said Shomer Moisolad, so if you remember Tochdei Dibor, if you remember within 3 seconds, Tochdei Dibor means the time it takes you to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori. If you remember within 3 seconds, so then correct yourself. But if you waited more than the 3 or 4 seconds, then the Mishnah Berurah says, then you're okay. But the Eved, ex post facto, it's okay. So that's the idea of the change between Shomer Moisolad and Ufros Aleinu Sukkas Shlomecha. Okay, last piece we're going to do, the last few sources we're going to do, have to deal with Vayechulu. Okay? So we know that the Gemara says in source 16, the Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Yotes, it says, Amarava v'yisema Rav Yeshua ben Levi, afilu yachid amispalo be'erv Shabbat tzorech lomar Vayechulu. You need to say Vayechulu. You need to proclaim that Hashem, completed, did the work of 6 days. The Rav Nuna, call him Yispalo be'erv Shabbos v'or Vayechulu. Anyone who's David, erev Shabbos, and he said Vayechulu, that you are like a partner to Hashem in Masa Bereishis. Shenemar vayechulu al tikre va. Don't read it as vayechulu, but as vayechalu, that they completed it together, that we together with Hashem completed. We are partners with God. If we affirm the fact that God created the world. So then, and we reflect upon it, so then we state it, we express it, so we become partners in the Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that's why we add this phrase in the Shemoneh Esrei. So the question is, if we say Vayechulu in the Shemoneh Esrei, why are we saying it after Shemoneh Esrei, right? What do? We say Vayechulu as part of, like, it's, you know, we normally would say, okay, the middle bracha is what? Okay, you made Shabbos was holy. Ataki dasha shom shidish becha. You made Shabbos was holy, and then you say, okay, okay, avaseinu retzavim nuchaseinu. What's this vayechulu doing here? Okay, we're supposed to mention that Hashem created. That we're supposed to mention about how Hashem finished all the work that He did. Wonderful, beautiful. Why are we saying it after the Shemoneh Esrei as well? So the Rosh says the following: Umasha omer achar tefila afalpi shekvar bar besocha tefila. Why do we say Vayechulu after the tefillah? Hainu mishum tichshachol liyos Yom Tov b'Shabbos. When Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, omrim atava chartanu v'lo rina b'toch ha-tefillah. We don't say Vayechulu. So I'm not sure why, but it wasn't part of the context. I guess they said that it didn't fit into the whole theme. In other words, when Yom Tov falls out, this again, I wonder again, I'm going to look into this, Dorchan, after the shir. But again, it also seems within the Shemoneh Esrei as well, that not only we're not saying Kabbalah Shabbos, again, this is earlier, this Chazal, when they created the text of the Tefillah, this is obviously much earlier, they said, we can't ignore that it's Shabbos, we have to mention that it's Shabbos, but we are sort of minimizing it. We're not going to say Vayechulu in the Tefillah. We're going to emphasize Atava Chartanu Mikol Hami. We're going to emphasize the Yom Tov aspect. We'll mention the Shabbos aspect. However, the Rosh says, well, we didn't mention Tefillah, but Tzarech Lomar La'achar Tefillah. But you should still say it after Tefillah. So, L'kach Nogu Lomar Kein B'chol Shabsos HaShana. So because we say it during those few times during the year, the two times during the year when Shabbos falls out, at least two times during the year, when Shabbos falls out on Yom Tov, right? When so then Friday night, there's no Vayechulu, so we say it after Shemoneh Esrei is over. So then what do? We're stuck with it each and every week. That's like a very major low plug. And there it's to create consistency. It's like I find it always interesting. I don't have always a good answer as to why they do these things. But sometimes when they make rulings like once, and they don't want to get, there's a concern of confusion. This is probably the days before there were some Sidurim, but maybe, well, actually when this was, when the tefillos were created, it's before there were Sidurim, probably printed Sidurim. And so, there probably was, not everyone had a Siddur, so probably there was confusion. Who's going to remember? Yeah, okay, we're supposed to say it now, but not other times. So apparently someone made the decision that it doesn't hurt to say Vayechulu. So we'll just say that, we'll say it every week after the Shemoneh Esrei. It's really only necessary during those Shabbos Yom Tovs, those Friday night Yom Tovs, but we'll say it every week. And the Shulchan Aruch in Source 18, Aruch Chaim Reish Samaches, Seif Zayin, says, Chol Jim Lomar Vayechulu. We say Vayechulu after Shemoneh Esrei. Bishum Yom Tov Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, because of the times when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, Shein Omrim also B'Tefillah, that we don't say it during Tefillah. V'gam Lahotzi L'mi Shein Yodea. So now he's adding another reason. And also, there are people who don't know the Vayechulu. Because remember, Mariv, there's no Chazaras HaShatz. There's another reason he's giving. There's Chazaras HaShatz for Shacharis HaMincha. The whole Chazaras HaShatz was started because people did not know how to daven. So they introduced Chazaras HaShatz for those people who didn't know how to daven. So Friday night, again, it's interesting. Okay, if you didn't know how to daven Shemoneh Esrei, maybe it's not the biggest deal because Shemoneh Esrei, Friday, Mariv is a reshus. Mariv is optional. I'm not saying it's optional, but it is optional. It's optional that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves. So maybe when they're not going to make a takana, they're not going to make an enactment that, okay, the Shliach Tzibur repeats the Mariv because fundamentally it's only a reshus, it's only an option. However, ooh, Vayechulu, that's big. We want everyone to say Vayechulu. So therefore, those people who didn't know it, we're going to do Vayechulu together afterwards for people. And Va'omrim also, B'kol Ram Uma Umad. Now he's adding something here. We have to say it aloud and standing. Now that's something different. If the goal is simply, because we got to mention that Hashem, okay, we have to mention that Hashem, I don't know, created the world and then he stopped on the seventh day, fine, say it. But why does it have to be Kol Ram and Mu'umad? Why does it have to be out loud and standing? So the Taz in Source 19, right, page 204, Source 19, Aruch Chaim Reish Samaches Sif Katan Hei says, Lefi, Shebozeh Onu Me'idim LaKadosh Baruch Hu, because through the recitation of Vayechulu, what are we doing? We are testifying about God, but Ma'aseh Bereishis, that He created the world. V'din Ha'edim Ba'amida. We're not simply declaring. We're like engage in edus. Edus has some kind of like we're like we're not simply saying it. We're like when you have edus, what does edus mean? It's true, right? It means you're affirming that it's true. There's something more powerful. This is such a critical event in the history of the Jewish people that we need to affirm this event as edus each and every week. So therefore, what do we do? We have to be like Adim. We have to be like witnesses. And if witnesses go to court, what do? They stand
testify.
Up. Well, they testify. How do they testify? They stand up and they say it loudly. So this statement is so critical to who we are as Jewish people. We have to stand up and do it out loud. Valkei nirali, and therefore it seems to me, the yachad abispalel, that individual who is davening, let's say you're davening at home, ain chotze lomar vayechulu. There's no point in you saying vayechulu. The ain edus liyachid. There's no testimony for an individual. The eida shlema ba'inan lahaid la kadosh baruch hu. You need testimony to testify to God. The hainu asara. So you need a minion. The miyertz liyachid lomra lo yiskam l'shem edus al kor b'torah. So it says, you know what? And if you say it, you should really just make like have in mind like you're reading from the Torah. This is a totally separate reason. This is not a Yom Tov Shechol Yos B'Shabbos reason here. this is an idea that we have to, testify every week. So there could be one idea of, okay, in the tefillah itself, in the Shemoneh Esrei itself, we mention about Hashem, we mention about creation of the world and when Hashem refrained and he declared that it was Shabbos. But we have to do more than that. We have to publicly declare that. There's public edus, and therefore you need to do it with a minyan, and you need to do it with someone else. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah in Source 20 says, Or Chaim, Reish Sabaches, Siv Katan Yotes, Val Kopar Yeh Bishnai, V'yachid HaMizpalo, an individual who daven Jeish Omer B'te'eno Chozer Lomar Vayechulu. Mishnah Berurah cites the Taz, that maybe you don't say Vayechulu, De'ein Edus L'yachid, that there's no testimony for an individual. V'yesh Omer D'yachid Yachol Omer, and some say that that individual can say it, Aval Ein Tzarech Amida, but then he doesn't need to stand. V'tov shegam hayachid yomar, and it's good that individuals should say it also. V'lo yiskav in the shem edus el kor b'torah, but don't even mind that it's for edus. By the way, that's, I don't know if you notice that sometimes, you may see if you come to shul on Friday night, that sometimes if let's say someone has a long Shemoneh Esrei, and let's say by time he finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, or she finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, I haven't seen what goes on in the women's section regarding this, but sometimes let's say someone finishes Shemoneh Esrei, and he takes a longer time, the Shliach Tzibur has already finished, they've already said Vayechulu. That he's still done Shemoneh Esrei, they've done Vayechulu, he will sometimes go to a friend and say, can you please say Vayechulu with me? Why? Because you need two, right? So that the practice of that is based on the Taz. Yeah, Rebecca, good question.
Does it matter if it's a man and a woman?
Yeah,
For it should be like two men, shouldn't it be?
The truth is, I don't know how this works with women anyway, with women with Adam, generally aren't Adam anyway.
If a man is davening at home and wants to say
with a woman, yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. Listen, it's a strange concept anyway to begin with, because, like, there's no testimony at night anyway, and we're doing this at night. So, like, questions like, how much are you mimicking, like, testimony? You're not really doing real testimony, because, again, it's at night. So the question is, how much do you mimic it? You know, when the Taz, I'm sure, was writing this, I don't imagine there were women saying this. I haven't found. I'll see if I can find something. That's a good question. I'll look at that question also about, you know, two women saying it, a woman and a man saying it. But again, like, how much are you making it like how much you modeling after testimony, right? Is it just two and that's enough? Or is that, because again, it's not at night, but is it something? It's a good question. I haven't seen anything, but I'll look into that.
The barrel, also, Rabbi Muscat, yeah. how is it different, like what they're accomplishing with this and what we do in Kiddush, like Friday night?
Right.
Aren't we saying like essentially the same thing in Kiddush anyway?
Right.
Like, how is it different?
So this is something, well, first of all, it's Bishnayim. It could be that that's with, well, if you hold like the Taz, that you need Edus, you need testimony, right? So that you don't have. And if you hold...
Why isn't Kiddush testimony? Meaning you need
two people, Edom means...
Right, you don't require two people, but like...
No, that's what I'm saying, but it's a question of how much we want to create this atmosphere that this is such a critical statement that we are having two people testifying it. It adds seriousness. You don't get that by Kiddush. I thought you were going to ask the opposite, but there's an opposite question that, which I'll get in a second. And the other aspect is this halacha and tefillah itself, which you're not getting. So the question is, how much is this tefillah? There's the flip side of the question, which is, if you say this in Shemoneh Esrei, so have you fulfilled Kiddush to some extent? Have you fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush? Right, so I'll give you. Here's the feminist question. Let's say, a man recited. We might cover this. I don't know if we're going to cover this in this. I don't know if they'll talk about this because I haven't read ahead. But let's say a man recited Ma'ariv and a woman didn't recite Ma'ariv. So then you might argue that maybe the man, when he's davening Shemoneh Esrei, he's fulfilled his mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush, because he said it. Okay, he didn't say brachos. He didn't say the brachos, but he's fulfilled the derisive of Kiddush. And all he has left is the rabbinic obligation to recite Kiddush on a cup of wine. So you come home, and then can the man be motzi the woman? Because a woman's obligation is a deoraisa at that point, because she has to recite Kiddush on a deoraisa level. The man only has a rabbinic obligation. So you know, you normally it's sort of flipped a little bit. Like say Megillah reading, why can a woman not read for a man? According to this ma, because a woman's obligation is to listen, as opposed to the man's to read. So is this flipped? How can a man read? How can a man who daven marv make kiddush for a woman whose obligation is deraisa? So a man's obligation only is drabanan. The answer that some want to say is that actually that the vayichulu, there are two aspects to kiddush, the deraisa of kiddush. So you have to mention two things. You have to mention that you have to say that the Shabbos is Zecher Lamasa Bereshis, and it's also connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's both. So the Vayechulu aspect is only Briasa Olam, creation of the world, and we don't say Zecher Lamasa Bereshis. The Kiddush that you say Friday night at home, that's Zecher Lamasa Bereshis. So that's what some say, you haven't fulfilled your obligation, even the derisa obligation until you come home. So that's really the flip side. But that's to answer your question, it's probably because Eidus you don't have in Kiddush, and it might have to be in the Shemoneh Esrei itself. Okay, so let me just finish up here a few more sources here. The Be'er Halacha on source 20, I'm sorry, I'm a little over, but we'll finish in 5 minutes. The Be'er Halacha on source 21 says, Or Chaim, Sif Katan, Reis Abachez, Sif Zayin. It's best to do it in a minyan. This is wild, by the way. That because it's best to do it with a minyan, if someone who's davening silence quietly, I find this wild. Because what's he saying? You should speed up your Shemot Esrei. Like you always think about like Shemot Esrei, and you have to have like the most kavana. Like don't care about anyone else and anything else. Focus on your silent Shemot Esrei, whatever it is, and like okay, like what if you're davening, you know, a longer Shachris or a longer Mincha davening, and you can't do Kedusha with the community with the Tzibur because he finishes faster than you. You don't have to worry about it. Like you daven your own pace. Here he's saying you should. It's so important to speed up so you can say Vayechula. I find that wild. I don't know if everyone holds like that, but that's like fascinating. The Mor of Hashemesh, source 22. I mean, it's a Be'er Halacha, right? So he says the Vishabes Kayom Shemir's Vayechula, he chelik me at Tfila. He says that saying Vayechula is part of Tfila. Av Shadayin lo akaraglav lo mi yimana milomar od pam yachati matzibor. Rishon Zalman Orbach says that if you finish, that, let's say you get to a Lokaina Tzor, so then you should say Vayechula with the Tzibor. He says, because since that's part of the tefillah, you could still say Vayechulu. However, the Or LeTzion, as a Sephardi post, like source 23, he said, listen, so don't get carried away. The real reason why we say Vayechulu, let's go back to the Tosis of the Rush. The real reason is not your Eidus reason at the Taz gave. The real reason why you should say Vayechulu after Shemot Esrei is because of the Yom Tov Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. Umashma shebelo tamze would imply that without this reason lo hayatzarich lechoflo kedei lomar biyachad. If there was no Yom Tov Shabbos issue, you wouldn't have to say it. You know, you wouldn't have to repeat it and say it with someone else. Muchach she'af mitzad edus ein zemakim lomar davka biyachad. That okay, even from a standpoint of testimony, you don't have to say it together. Why shere hatam? If you have the reason of Tosus and the Rush, that the reason why we're saying Vayechulu after Shemon Esrei is because on Yom Tov, we don't say in Shemon Esrei, that would apply even if it's by yourself. So you don't have to go crazy about this. You don't really need Eidus, ain't Eidus Balayla, there's no testimony at night. That's what the Elio Rabba writes. You don't have to say it together. You don't have to worry, try to find someone else to say it with someone else. Certainly, you shouldn't rush to David. You certainly shouldn't rush to David. That's what I think the standard view is. Sorry, let me just do two more sources here, then we'll conclude, we'll wrap up. What does the Chazanish say? He says in source 24, also bikol ramum umad. So he cites the Torah, says you should say it aloud and standing up. Why do you say it aloud and standing up? Nero de la high svara ain circle top she calls to a toast of a rush. He says, wait a second. But the Torah said you're supposed to. Why did Taz say it's like Edus? Because he was going off the opinion of the Torah, who said you got to say it standing up and aloud. He said, Ella omri mosa call it tzibur yachah b'kora. But what's the point? He says, but the whole tzibur says it together. Vizel ki'ilu machrizim eidim b'fnei kol bo'i olam ki'sheshim rosa l'shem eshmai v'soretz v'yoch b'mashvi. The whole tzibur together is saying it, that Hashem created the heaven and the earth. Thought to be in Yachad, divazeh ika hekera persume milsa tfei v'chein koram u'mad. So he wants to say that it's not a din in Eidus and testimony. This is something the whole community, the whole minion together shouts aloud that we believe Hashem created the world in 6 days and stopped creation on the seventh day. V'nira dilatav zeyni yachid kofa v'yachulu. Therefore an individual does not repeat v'yachulu. The v'yachid leka ra kol ram. Therefore an individual, there's no loud voice. In the Shemoneh Esrei, you say it quietly. So you don't really need to say it a second time. But according to Tosfos the Rosh, maybe you should also repeat it. So the Chazanish wants to say, if you're with the Tzibor, yeah, you say it, because old Tzibor is going to announce it. If you're not with the Tzibor and it's not Yom Tov, yeah, you don't really need to say it. But if it's Yom Tov, then you should, then it's an obligation to say it. V'nei yachid amispalo, individual who davens, o shesim tefilos achar shomer atzir v'yechulu, omer v'yechulu mishum tam atos v'rosh. So basically, what he says is the following. If you finish Shemot Esrei with the whole tzibur, said you say it, shout out loud, man, woman, together, whole tzibur together, Hashem created the world 6 days, he stopped creating the seventh day, we all say it together. If you have a longer Shemot Esrei, so then all you have left is Tosus and the Rush, you don't need to say it out loud. You don't need to say it standing up. We don't find this in the poskim. And also Vayechulu, that you say it on, and also, you're also going to say Vayechulu, as Dorchana said, you're going to say Vayechulu later on a cup of wine. V'nira dein lahad erachashnayim, you don't need to find a second person. The lomasi of a poskim hider shel shnayim, this whole thing of two people. So, and maybe you're concerned, domestic kamabit edim masibrachis, so it looked like you need witnesses about creation. In other words, you have like basically three opinions here. You have Tosfos and the Rosh are basically saying it all stems from this Shabbos Yom Tov business where you don't say Vayechulu in Shemoneh Esrei, so you say it afterwards. So because we say it afterwards, we say it all the time. And then we got the Torah who says you got to say it out loud and you got to say it standing up. So the Taz jumps on that and says, ah, this is Eidus, this is testimony. You need to do it with someone else. Two people, like testimony. The Chazanish says, no. The reason why you do it, kol ramim umad, standing up and out loud, is because the whole tzibur announces. It's not a din in Eidus, it's a din in like Barovam or Pirsum and Issa kind of thing, that everyone's saying it together. So, Lemaisa, what do we do? Source 25, Piskei Tshuva says, what's the common practice? He says, at the end of the day, even though he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, the minhag is that people do try to find someone else. We do try to follow the Taz, even though it doesn't seem to be the Pashup Shat, like the Taz, but that's the custom is like that. You go to shul, you see if someone, you know, had a longer Shemoneh Esrei, the people generally have the longer Shemoneh Esrei know about this halacha. And so they will ask someone else to say Vayechulu with them. But nevertheless, if you don't have another person, he says, Nogim Sheyachid Omer Shuv Uvakov Ovamida, individual will say it with a voice and standing up. But according to the Taz, don't have in mind for testimony, just have in mind like you are reading from the Torah. Okay? That is all for tonight. I have to do a little more research.